I am unashamed. What about you?
I'm really serious about this. I've seen a run up on a lot of bar Jesuses. I mean,
you know what?
I've baptized them today and tomorrow. They looked me straight in the eye and they said, "Here's a news flash. I am Jesus."
Yeah.
I said, "No."
Well, technically, Jesus is in us, but you're saying that we're going down.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
I'm going to have to admit, I had no recollection when I read Acts 13. I had no recollection of this guy named Bar Jesus. But I thought, what, did he own a bar? That was my first thought. Then he was a sorcerer. I thought, oh, this is going bad for him. But we're not going to talk about that today.
I think we're going to talk about that on the next podcast. But we teased it very well to open this one. So, Dad, tell us about you had some interesting yesterday. This is at the day after Easter. So tell us about your Easter Sunday.
We've made it up. I did. I told him, said, look, I volunteered to go over there and meet with those people. There was just a handful a couple of years ago. Now it's a pretty sizable little group.
So for people who don't know, you went across the river right next to the university.
Yeah.
And y'all planted a church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You took some of the existing members. It kind of turned into a homeless ministry because a lot of y'all's people were just showed up.
Well, it's kind
of
interesting because you have the university on one side of the road, and then you got a pretty, tough neighborhood on the other side of the road. So it's kind of an interesting intersection.
Phil's in the middle.
Dad's in the middle.
So look, Phil, think about it. My first visual memory of you was you in the middle of the bar. I mean, you had two pistols on you, and there was like one crew on one side and the other. And I just remember thinking,
well, it was still segregated.
Yeah.
So he had the African-American air in the back and you had the white air in the front.
I thought
we were blasting out on the jukeboxes in the back, blasting out B.B. King.
Yeah.
And
Motown.
Motown, Muddy Waters. He was singing the blues.
The Thrill is Gone.
That's on the back. Well, in the front part, it was,
Conway Twitty.
Conway Twitty. What was it? The old girl from Tennessee,
Sissy Spacek?
Huh?
No.
Some of these old country.
Loretta Lynn.
She played Loretta Lynn.
I knew where you were going.
So that was blaring out on the front part. I'm in the middle with a pistol for everybody concerned. I was kind of the Matt Dillon of the bar. Speaking of bars, but
that was a bar.
So now here you fast forward, the Lord saved you, and now you have a different weapon, which is way more powerful.
He still has
an AR with him too.
That group of people there just fizzled on out, so it got down just a handful, and they said, y'all want this, you can maybe do something with it. And everybody said, well, we'll sell the building, and it makes some money.
Yeah, we were getting ready to basically shut it down and get those folks to come over.
And I raised my hand. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I don't think we ought to get rid of that place. I said, we ought to work over there. And I said, I'll go. I said, I'll go over there. I said, the good news is for y'all, free of charge. I said, so there won't be any money changing hands.
I think that's what landed you the job.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go.
It's possible.
And I'll do it for free.
I'll do the work and for free.
I can see how that meeting, I'll second that motion.
All in favor? Aye.
I said, we're not going to pass the collection plate. They looked at me and they were like, what? I said, no collection plate. What's interesting about it is that we don't pass the hat or the bucket or whatever they put the money in. I said, no, forget all that. I said, if we have to, I'll pay for the electric bill and whatever, water, make sure the commodes are flushing.
So now you're not only working for free, you're offering to pay for the operation.
That's right.
Okay.
So
I see your strategy. If you pay for it, if you feed them, guess what? People will show
up.
You will bring people to Jesus. So that's good.
I like it.
So anyway, we circumvented the pass and the hat and all that. And a lot of people looked at that. They said, well, it's interesting that at the end of the year, we took in more than we did when we passed the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's amazing.
More money came in when we said we're not passing the hat.
Yep.
I said we're dealing primarily with the poor. Wow. And I said they don't have any money, so why try to sift a few dollars out of them?
Oh, you've hit a nerve.
We need to be helping them.
I know you're telling a story, but look, Al knows how I feel about this. These once every 6 weeks sermons on giving, there's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me, because I'm like, inspire people through Jesus, yep. Motivate them. And which you've proved my point. Tell them we're not going to pass the hat. And look, human beings are strange. You're like, no, I'm giving. And you're like, no. And they're like, no, I'm going to give. That's how people are. And once you're motivated to do something, you do it. That's why I cannot stand, you know, sermons that are supposed to make you guilty for not giving a certain sum. It's just too much of it. I mean, they miss the whole point. Not that you've ever done that, Al.
Well, and I have to say, since I preached for a long time, I was never comfortable preaching sermons about giving. I was forced to do it at times because you work for a group of people that say, here's what we want to do. But I've said, since I'm free too now, so I'm working for free. And so
and me too.
We just had this conversation recently because we're trying to raise some money. And I just said, guys, I'm not going to do that in the pulpit. Now I'll make a video for you. I'll talk about the needs we have here that we can put out to our folks. No, I don't mind asking for money if we need something for some, but I don't want to do it in a sermon.
I'm not sure our model for local ministry is going to take hold. Pro right. bono for Jesus. Right. And not only that, no passing the hat.
That's right.
People are going to
bow. I think we're right where we need to be.
So to make a bring a long story short, now here are some of us who are collected there, and we're just kind of talking it over. The brothers are meeting. The church is meeting in this little structure. Well, I looked up, and there's two young women walk up, and they say, we think we're at the wrong place. And I said,
this is Easter Sunday yesterday,
this
right?
This is Easter Sunday. Okay. And we're fixing to talk about the power of the resurrection from the dead, because it is the three days after Good Friday. So I had it on the board. The gospel in higher living and errors, God becoming flesh, dying on a cross, being buried, had a little tomb.
What kind of board do y'all have? Y'all don't have a screen?
Yeah.
Like a video?
It's a screen. It's a big screen.
Oh, see.
Right behind her. Yeah, I told him to do that. I said, y'all.
Oh, so you had a PowerPoint.
Yeah. Well, because look, I want to remind you of the gospel and I showed. But anyway, those girls, they came up and they said, we got turned around and we think we're in the wrong place. And I said, well, I guess it's according to how you look at it, girls. I said, you may be in the right place. And they said, well, is this like a real church? And they looked around.
They're thinking, it's not a real church.
They were like, this is not a real church.
There's no pews.
No
pews.
There's
no round tables.
No.
What about, was everybody in their bright colors?
Their fineries.
Woo. The brothers that come early, you know, a lot of them, you know, they didn't have a place to stay, but they're there. So she says, we're looking at teacher. Where's the preacher around here? We talked to him, and I said, oh, he's around here somewhere. And they said, well, who are you? And I said, Jim Smith. How's it going? So she said, Jim,
why would you do that?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So I said, Jim Smith. So I shook hands with her. She said, it's good to know you, Jim. I said, hey, good to y'all be here. I said, look, I said, you think you're in the wrong place? I said, what if God sent you to the right place? And she said, well, I guess. I said, maybe he wanted you to hear. I said, now look at this. Look up here on that board. They looked around. I said, you see that arrow coming down out of heaven, that arrow coming down? They said, yes, sir. I said, that's when God became flesh 2020 years ago. I said, that's when he became flesh. They're like, really? I said, yeah. I said, God becomes a human. I said, his name is Jesus. I said, he dies on a cross to remove y'all's sin. And they said, we have a lot of them. I said, we all do too. I said, 3 days later, today, we're celebrating the resurrection of the dead. Do you girls know that you can be raised from the dead? That he's conquered death for you? They're like, whoa. Never heard it before in their life.
This is before you started.
This is before we're just sitting there.
And you never got how they wound up there? Were they from out of town?
They said the computer, Google them to the wrong spot.
One of them was from Natchez, and one of them was from South Louisiana or somewhere.
Yeah, one of them from Jennings.
Where were they trying to get to?
I don't know.
Oh.
But they ran up on us, and then somebody said, really? I heard somebody say, he's really not Jim Smith. He said, that's a Phil Robson guy, the Robson guy. And they said, we never heard of him. So they just heard the gospel. And I said, you girls hang around. I said, guess what? You can start all over today, and every sin you've ever committed will be wiped clean. And you'll be guaranteed you can be raised from the dead. I said, that's what this is about. I said, so maybe you came to the right place if that's what you want in on some of that action. They said, we're going to stay here. Do they have like a lesson or something? I said, yeah, I'll get up there in a minute, say a few words. She said, really? I said, yeah. So she kept looking for the preacher, and she got to me, and she said, no, that dude ain't no preacher. But anyway, so we get up, I preach the gospel to them, and I look up, and here they come. And I said, women go that way, men go that way. So one guy, I asked him what he did for a living. He said, I want somebody to baptize me. I said, well, come on down. So sister took one of the brothers.
The women took the other women to get them ready to be baptized?
That's right.
I wasn't sure. I thought you were going back to
1840s where the women sat on one side.
I said, anybody else?
It's a modesty issue. Yeah.
So this guy came down, and it surprised me because I said, what do you do for a living? Because he just said, I'm giving my life to the Lord right here, right now. I want to be born again. I said, go with over there, old sister, fish, and do a little baptizing here. So old sister's one of the brothers. So he goes up there.
He's your designated baptist.
I asked him what he did later, and he said, I'm a preacher. I said, really? He said, yep.
The guy who responded.
I said, what do you do for a living?
This is the craziest story I've ever
heard. He said, I'm a preacher. I thought, well, hey, I'm glad you made that decision today, man. Hey.
What's he been preaching?
I don't know.
I like it.
I love that guy. I mean, he was just as honest as he could be.
Yeah.
I said, what do you do for a living? He said,
I mean,
I'm
that
a preacher.
Shows you.
Well,
you got two people lost. I guess, in more ways than one.
Literally lost. And
the girls said they had led very sinful lives.
But were these young women?
Young women, I'd say. I'm not real good at determining the age
of women, but I would say
20s.
As good as the story is, I'm still not sure what the Jim Smith was all about. Well, how come you just didn't say I'm Phil Roberts?
Because I was thinking to myself, they don't know. They were looking for some kind of structured where you walk in and you can always spot the preacher somewhere because he kind of stands out. I think they were looking for more structure. And there where we are, we just gather up and some people eat, you know, eating a little bite, having a little bite.
So your point was my name doesn't matter because you thought they would know who you were if you said it.
So you decided to go covert and then just share with them. I get it. Well, it worked.
I mean,
all I know is those three people have eternal life according to the Bible.
Yeah.
But it was a little unusual the way that all fell in there.
But y'all are meeting in an unusual environment, so maybe you're attracting unusual people.
Well, a lot of people come in. You know, the people that come in to meet us, and we always say, well, we're going to be, you know, we meet on Sunday. If you want to, that's where we'll be. Either you're there, you know, I'm over on the other side. Jace is there when he's in town. So, I mean, that's what happens. So we meet a lot of people from around the country.
Well, the most important thing in the little text that people just fly right on by it, not realizing what they're doing, is this. They will all know you are my disciples when they see your love for one another.
Yep.
They'll know you by your love for one another.
Excellent.
Well, if that's missing... Yeah. From the whole structure of what we've done to Christianity in the last 250 years.
Right.
If that's a clue, and I think it's a big one, because you're going to have to search wide and far to walk in and say, these people, they really seem like they love each other. They gathered up here. I wonder what this is all about.
To the two.
It was kind of like these girls had never you know, they, I don't know where they came from, except one of them said I'm from Jennings and the other one said
Natchez. This was somebody.
And I thought, well, it's good to have you girls here. We let them know that we cared for them. We pointed them to Jesus in the within 30 seconds of them walking in saying, who are you? And I just got right cut to the chase. I presented the gospel because Romans 1:16 said the power is in that message.
Right.
Faith comes from hearing. You must believe he exists. And he'll rewards if you earnestly seek him. So I thought, well, they think they're lost, but they're really not. They're lost, all right.
they were lost in more ways than one. Let's take a break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
So that went well.
Well, and to their credit, most people would have done a U-turn if they didn't look like what they thought, but they approached you, which said they were seeking
something.
Our
policy is at any time, once people start coming in that structure, at any time, if anybody says anything about Jesus, what's this all about, we stop everything, and it's a gospel presentation, and we point them to Jesus, who he is and what he's done. Number one on the list, and we don't worry about time constraints. We don't worry about, well, maybe we got to do this first because we got so-and-so going to get up a song serving. No, we don't fool with all that.
it's a unique setting. I met a couple at WFR yesterday that were from South Florida, just north of Miami. And he said he had been an agnostic / atheist his whole life. And then he got to listening to us and watching In the Woods. And so he came to Christ last year. He wound up coming up here, and I think it was October, he told me, he got baptized over there with you guys. And then he said, you know, I've been such on fire for Jesus that I just had to come spend Easter with y'all. And he and his wife drove all the 16 hours to spend Easter Sunday yesterday.
There were a lot of people there yesterday.
Oh, yeah, a ton.
I didn't know if the coronavirus restrictions have been lifted.
Yeah, we don't have any limitations anymore. And the other thing is a lot of our older people are getting vaccinated now, so they're coming back. So every week there's people coming back. Yeah. But it was kind of like you said, one of the previous podcasts, kind of the Easter, which I kind of tapped on that a little bit in my sermon just did that.
I noticed that.
You know, once a year deal, you know, I'm gonna come because it's Easter. And for what, you know.
I'm telling you, that Colossians 1, 2, and 3 is that Colossians 3:1 is a doozy.
Yeah,
I put that on Missy. We, you know, she was doing her blog that I promoted in a previous podcast. She did the week leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. And I'm going to tell you, they were outstanding. I didn't read yesterday's because I didn't really have a minute to do it, which would have been, I guess, the final one she did. But they were amazing.
I was trying to get them to see. I said, there's a big surge on Resurrection Day. There's a big surge of within the Christian world, the churches and all. There's a surge on Good Friday. And I said, it's a good thing. A surge meaning more people will appear and meet inside a structure on the Good Friday running to the resurrection on Sunday. I tried to make the point yesterday. I said, listen, when I walk out that door today, I'm up here for a couple hours this morning. Here's three people who have eternal life over it. I said, I was privileged to share Jesus with them. I said, when I walk out that door, I said, the story of Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, what he's now doing, the mediating work from heaven under grace, not counting our sins against us, and his return. I said, how in the world could that end when I walk out that door on Sunday? I said, I'm going to walk out that door and get my pickup truck, but tomorrow that message is front and center. The proof is it of it is we're seated here talking about it. Well, today is Monday, not Sunday. Yesterday was Resurrection Day, historically speaking. I gave them two excerpts from the World Book Encyclopedia, and they documented that in about, you know, the hundreds, 100 A.D., they noticed there were people. Now, Jesus left at 33, 34, whatever, A.D. Within 75 years, the encyclopedia crowd got in there, and they said, we noticed there was a lot of these people. They were meeting, and they were fasting, and they were praying, and they were singing around that first week in April. And they've got all of a sudden, next thing you know, we got eggs, Easter eggs in the mix, and they're hunting them. But you say, man has done quite a number on the whole thing. But the bottom line is, even the encyclopedia said they seem to be celebrating beginning in the 100s A.D. until 2,000 years later. They celebrating Jesus Christ and him being raised from the dead. I said, good night. The encyclopedia's preaching Jesus here for us. So
it's pretty amazing.
Even the encyclopedia records Jesus dying, being buried, and raised from the dead. You know why? Rightfully so.
Because it happened.
It happened.
Yeah.
And historically, it's undeniable.
Right.
Why the celebration's starting back that far and they're still here? You're like,
Yeah, that's what I lost my train of thought a while ago. That's why I was saying, Missy, I was reading those blogs, and we started talking about it one night, and we literally talked almost the entire night into the morning, which is very unusual for my wife because she goes
to sleep.
Yeah, but she was so passionate about it. I mean, because, you know, it's hard to
write. I've never had a conversation that long with your mother, Miss Kay.
Well, all right, this is a good idea. Look, because she was trying to write about the week that led to Jesus' resurrection.
Right.
Well, I mean, writing is difficult because you're pouring yourself into that. Well, she was so into it that the passion had just ignited her. I mean, she'd gone days of studying and writing and reading, and it was actually, even though she was doing this for other people to share it, you know, I noticed, oh, it had lit a fire, you know, under her. And so that's more of the answer, I think, to this once a year phenomenon, is that if you actually took a few days to meditate and study and pray and read, and then all of a sudden it becomes more real, and
right,
that change becomes infectious.
You gotta remember,
in a good way.
One more time. On the structure of it all. The Bible study, the pointing the two girls to Jesus. This was before what people call, religious people, worship services. They've got a block of time that's given to the singers, the block of time devoted to prayer, a block of time for this, a block of time for that. They've got it blocked up and chopped up. They won't stop and start. This is before we have any services, as they call them.
Wow.
I'm just sitting in a chair and a structure. Two girls walk up and say, who are you? And I tell them who I am, but I point them to Jesus. Within 30 seconds, I begin to expound on Jesus. I'm not worried about the time slot, how long this is going to take. I just, if you, the normal thing would do, good to have y'all. Y'all, and they go back and they sit down, and it's very possible that they'll never even hear the gospel the rest of the time.
Right.
I mean,
but you're looking at it,
our own.
You're looking at it more as a movement of where Jesus is proclaimed, like the book of Acts, God working in people to share Jesus.
Yeah.
When I'm saying most people, they're just looking at it as something that's a part of their life. I think like an insurance policy. I'm going to go meet on Easter Sunday in case this thing is true. So when Jesus comes back, I might make it.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that's true.
Yeah.
So no, I'm due. I mean, sad, because that's why the next week it'll be interesting. You won't see as many.
Right.
I mean, the clothes thing, I like that Phil's crew, you couldn't tell based on.
Yeah.
Because did I share this last time? I was coming back from the airport and it was late. This was last weekend, and I saw a church on a Wednesday night. I saw a church being dismissed, and they all had suits on, and they all had dresses on, and I thought, that's weird. But they all look basically the same.
Right.
And, I'm not throwing rocks at the church, but I'm saying evidently that has to be planned. Or, of course, I did notice something else. I would say every person that was walking to their vehicles was over 60.
Yeah.
So they were all well-dressed. Because I'm looking at it like John the Baptist, Jesus said, was the greatest person ever to come out of a woman. That I'm not sure where that verse is, but he said that of all humans, yeah, greatest.
And the dude was pretty scruffy looking.
He was wearing animal skins.
Hang on.
There's got to be a message in there somewhere.
I'm like,
hang on, Jace, let's take a break. So, Jace, you've mentioned this before. I would say on how Missy's list of priorities is sleep.
She loves it.
She even said that on the podcast, because she was talking about, remember we talked about the one about y'all's first year of marriage, and she was talking about how she couldn't get sleep and how irritated it
made. Yesterday I was walking through the house, because I get up early, and I got a weird text, and so I lost my train of thought where I was because I was walking through, and I just blew my nose. And I woke her up. She looked at me like
she had the fierce look. Yeah. Well, one of the things that Missy will attest to is that one of the ways that we sleep well is that we sleep on Helix mattresses, which are fantastic.
Love them.
We have them in all over the place, and for us and our guests to be able to sleep. So we personally enjoy the mattresses. They're fantastic. So we want you to go to helixsleep.com/unashamed. You take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They'll find out, you know, whether you like the firmer or the softer. And then you get basically $200 off your first order just for being a listener to Unashamed, which is fantastic. So it's helixsleep.com/unashamed. Save your $200 and get some good sleep.
But I'm saying,
makes me feel better.
And I've got off on this before. Some of my favorite churches to meet at now that has great worship, there's some kind of phenomenon going on where they all kind of look cookie cutter with the skinny jeans and the little flat bill hats. And they look like they're space people. That's what the attire looks
space
like.
Yeah. Is that so what they're wearing in outer
I'll
space
go to
these
one
days?
1,000 miles away, a church, and I'm like, why are these preachers wearing these same outfits? I'm not. And so, I mean, I said all that to say that has nothing to do with anything, in my opinion, but evidently other people look at that as a bigger issue. And why that is, maybe you can help me.
I would rather be in a group, and I'd rather wonder about, I wonder where the homeless are in this group and where the ones are doing pretty good. I'd rather not that be spotted by their attire. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think it's just, most of that's cultural, like you said. If older people, yeah, because older people tend to dress up more for everything that they feel like.
But it looked like it was 1980.
Right.
It looked like I'd all of a sudden come through a time warp before I turned, and it was 1980.
Well, because they were still there. That's what I'm saying.
So what do you think would be the response? I guess we wouldn't know. If somebody walked in, you know, looking like Phil or me. Do you think it would be welcoming?
Well, no.
I'm not knocking fine attire, fine duds. I mean,
We've got a couple of guys at WFR. Randy's one of them that usually dresses. He used to wear a suit and tie. Now he just usually wears a coat, but he's always well-dressed.
But he's a financial.
He's a financial guy. But he's his mindset. He grew up in the mindset that because he's in between me and dad in age, but that you know you wear your best when you're going to
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Where is that coming from?
It's just I'm saying it's just a cultural thing because definitely nothing scripturally about it. I mean, like you said, basically the scriptures downplay that. I mean, yep. James said it clearly.
So somebody
he was like, "Don't come in with your finery," and you know. So I think it's just a mindset that's always been there that people thought we should dress up. I remember us having issues through the years about you know people that would pass the trays with the Lord's Supper in it. They had to wear a certain thing. There's still a local church, I think.
They had to do
we
what?
We have to wear a coat. You have to wear a coat and tie to pass the trays in an assembly, the Lord's Supper tray.
I would have a hard time sitting while that, if that happened, I'm gone. I'm at it. If we have to have that conversation, maybe that's a horrible attitude, but I just, that would burn my bacon. I'd be like,
I'm just telling you, it happens, you know?
If I dressed in fine clothes, and for all the people coming in off the streets and all that, what would be my point? I mean,
yeah,
I won't even get up high like a podium. In other words, I just sit down. I don't want them thinking I'm talking down to anybody. I'm just pointing people to Jesus saying, this is the way out. As far as I can tell, it's for everybody. And
I wanted to say this. I thought a couple things yesterday. They honored these two 90-year-old women who are in Willie's wife's side of their family.
Right.
They're two of the classiest, most integrity, character-filled women I've ever met in my life.
And at 90, they're still rolling. I mean,
just phenomenal. Because Phyllis was asking me who they were, and I said, I'll tell you this, they're two of the finest women. And I went over because we had our family got together, but then their family got together
next door.
Right next door. Yeah. So on the way, I went over there and told them happy birthday because now they've had the vaccine shots. Well, I think Mamaw Jo actually
she got corona
and survived.
Yeah, at 89.
Which I wasn't shocked because the woman is just full of grace and class, and I could see the Lord very well just said no, I'm not going to allow that to happen. Not to say that other people that didn't survive, because you know he's also the God of the resurrection, but I'm just telling you that woman, she's
and her
awesome.
Son did the thing, and I thought he did really well. I thought it was
did what
Jeremy like the honor thing, you know.
Oh, he got up. Yeah,
yeah, I thought that was really well.
Yeah, he got a little
emotional.
So then, and we had ours. I had taken a guy duck hunting, and out of his gratitude, he gave me a brisket.
Two brisket.
That was the size of this table.
It was huge.
And Jay cooked it for 24 hours.
It was
about it?
I say that was a finer brisket than I thought I've ever put a mouth on.
Oh, I thought it was the finest.
Yeah. It was hard to beat.
Yep. So, I mean, I'm saying what I wanted to say was it was more than just meeting a resurrection with the family. We also, our families got together, which is what we do. Cause in the end, what the resurrection does for us is it creates the certainty of being part of God's forever family.
Yeah.
So to me, families get together in Jesus. They are part of a forever family.
Right.
And to me, that's what is also motivating and what separates this just from being one Sunday that we say, oh, it's a resurrection. So,
I wanted to say that. We celebrated, and, you know, I mentioned at our house when we had our dinner before we prayed that, you know, there's a lot of people that just are still in so much fear. They you know, can't meet more than three or four people in your house. And, you know, it makes me sad because I thought about it. We believe everything we talk about on this podcast and everything we preach and teach to be true. And I just really believe if you are sold out on the resurrection, that you don't need to fear like other people fear. I mean, look, I wear the mask, I do this, I mean, all that, but I'm saying don't live in fear because you're going to be raised from the dead. So, I mean, something's going to get you at some point, you know? So
Jesus said, go make disciples. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. He said, I just conquered death here, right? They're all like, whoa. He said, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, and then you baptize them. Well, teach them to obey what my commands. So that's exactly what we do. And you're like, and someone comes along, unless he said, Jesus didn't say, unless there's some kind of pandemic, then all bets are off.
Right.
You got to shut the whole thing down and don't even touch one another. Stay at least 6 foot from each other. Well, we baptized over 100 people during that coronavirus thing.
Yeah.
You're like, well, so what are you going to do? Shut down what Jesus said because the CDC comes along and says, now here's what you're going to do.
Sadly.
I'm going to obey Jesus and I'm going to preach the gospel and we're going to baptize people. I don't care what the CDC said.
But
they put you in jail, fine. I'll tell the people down in the jail about Jesus.
But hang on, let's take a break. So, Jace, when you're on the plane, do you listen to music? Do you use the earbuds?
Oh, yeah. I use them.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's really the only way I can fly. If I wasn't able to listen to music on an airplane, I don't know that
I could. The problem I've run into is you forget, if you start singing along, that other people are not in your headphones.
That's right.
Your earbuds, and they're looking at you strangely.
Yeah, and you're not quite having the quality probably what we're... If Missy could probably pull it off, and everybody would love it. So one of our fairly new sponsors, Raycon, they have some really cool earbuds that fit well in your ear. And just because that's the biggest problem is finding them that fit well, you know, because my ears are weird. I got one that's, you know, keeps kicking out my earbud. So these are great. So basically, when we give these things a try, I think they're really good. They're offering 15% off all their products for our listeners. So you want to go to buyraycon, that's R-A-Y-C-O-N, buyraycon.com/unashamed, 15% off your order. buyraycon.com/unashamed, B-U-Y-R-A-Y-C-O-N.
But through technology, also, I think I shared Jesus with more people on a Zoom meeting than I had in all the events combined, because I did tons
well,
of them.
So. And that couple yesterday from Florida, they watch us every Sunday, and it's a big part of their lives. But you know, but you're right, Adam. Sadly, there's a lot of churches that did shut down and still are.
Yep.
And some have defied. And, you know, I mean, I just think you have to look at it from the standpoint of what's important. And also, by the way, the Bill of Rights, there's no a precursor that says, oh, if there's a pandemic, none of these rights apply.
That's right.
So, you know, people have used that against people. And we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, especially out in California, but churches to shut them down. You can't sing, you can't worship, you can't chant, you can't do this, you can't do
that. When they said you can't sing even with a mask on, or like that one in California, they said you can go to the church, but only one at a time.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that someone outside of Jesus came up with that law. You can do it, but only one at a time. So, because they know subliminally there's power.
That's right.
When you get together, which is what I was saying yesterday, was very, very motivational. You enjoy the meal, which, look, in Louisiana, I mean, food is pretty, I mean, we have the resurrection and family, and then we got food. But it's right up there. And look, I think it was important to Jesus. He had the fish fry on the bank.
Yeah, how many great things to think about in the Gospels were around a meal?
Well, did you know that in Louisiana, there is more crawfish eaten on Easter Sunday than any other day?
I could see that.
It
I
is
didn't
the
know that.
Kickoff for the crawfish season. Yep. Now, that's mainly south. We're
a little later.
Yeah.
North Louisiana.
So it's a little colder. We get around to the crawfish. And I heard that. I was watching the LSU baseball game, and I heard Ben McDonald say that. And I was like, yeah. And then the other guy, who I didn't even know was from Louisiana, the other commentator, he was like, you know, if I only had one food that I could eat, he said, I'm going with the crawfish. I was shocked. Wow. And Ben McDonald said, that's what you're going with? Because they were talking about Easter Sunday. And I mean, they got on the crawfish. And he said, well, because they're versatile. And so then he went Bubba Gump
on all the different ways you can eat
pie. And just started all the ways you can eat them. And I thought, you know what? He has made a really good case here when start breaking down the versatility of a crawfish. But I wanted to share that because I thought it was exciting. You know, another thing that happened was y'all came over because we had a celebration on Good Friday also at my house. And what did we eat that night?
Steak.
Steaks. Steak. Yeah, bone-in.
Bone-in, ribeyes, and fillets.
So
that was that more part of the hunting booty too? Part of the hunting
bounty? Same fella.
Okay.
Here's the steaks. We supplied all the meat, you know, for the
So that one hunt it supplied was the, our it was whole the, Easter weekend.
It was the duck hunt that kept giving. So what I was gonna say is so they had the desserts, which yesterday you made your famous
cream cheese pies
with the pecan graham cracker crust.
It's an owl creation.
Stupid.
It's
There's really some good. Butter that was involved. So what I was going to say is, but on the Friday night, spectacular meal, but the desserts, I looked them over and I thought, a little weak here. We had two pies that were in a box. Yeah. And I thought, nope. Well, there was a king cake there and it wasn't in a box. And I thought, that looks good. Because, you know, Louisiana is famous for king cakes.
Yeah.
I went in there and got a piece of that and thought, that is the greatest.
That the cream cheese
cake.
In it?
Yes, yeah. Cream cheese. But it was, look, of all the cream cheese king cakes I've eaten, this immediately was a 10, and it put everything else it was like that much better. I couldn't get over it. Now, I went back in. So the next day, I'm looking around for that king cake. It's gone. Which I found out who got it. Do you know?
Nope.
You did.
I did?
Yeah. So you told.
Oh, you mean the king cake?
Yeah.
Well, I got home and Miss Kay said, they gave you that cake. Well, I noticed yesterday.
No.
This one is all the way down to one piece. And there was another one sitting there. And I'm like.
Okay. So how good is that king cake?
It's as fine as I've ever eaten.
So here's what happened. So then the next day, which is now we're back to Sunday.
Yeah.
No, later that day on Saturday. Okay, here's the deal. Later that day, I walk in thinking about the king cake, and I look, and there's a new one sitting on the counter. I thought, because no piece had been taken, so I was like, well, this can't be the same one. Why is this sitting here?
By the way, since you're on the food supply,
this is a
let me just
story.
Remind Big Al there that someone in their love for us, they out of Wisconsin, sent this two boxes, big boxes of cheese.
I heard about this.
But I noticed once they got to Al's house, cheese came my way. None.
Yeah. I thought, it's not at my house. It must be at Anna's house. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you know about it?
Because Phyllis, I said, where's the cheese? So, because we put it in her car, two boxes. It was a car load.
But if she left it in the car, that cheese is
No, it's dry ice. I mean, it's good.
Oh.
But I said, where's the cheese? She said, well, it's up there, back up there around your house.
Well, this goes in with my story.
So I'm still waiting on the cheese.
You need to run it.
Y'all keep what you want, but, you know, send a little down this way.
I thought you had the cheese originally, and then I got the leftover.
It was targeted. They said, we're giving this the old field. But I looked around. I said, where's
no
the cheese?
Okay.
Well, one of my granddaughters last night was eating a cheese stick, one of those where you pull it off of there. It looked delicious. Let's take our last break.
So here's what happened. So I thought, what is the protocol here? I thought, it's my house. I'm eating this. So, because I didn't know if it's a present or I didn't know what happened.
Is there like a king cake fairy that shows up at y'all's house? How does king cake just show up on the couch?
Telling you what happened, you'll find this comical. It took a sobering turn. So I'm eating this king
cake. They always do. Jason's stories always do.
So Missy comes in. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I had icing in my beard. I said, I'm eating this king cake. I said, I can't figure out where it came from. She's like, where did that come from? I mean, that's not the one from last night. I was like, no. She said, well, what's the big deal? I was like, you didn't eat this last night? I said, no. I said, eat this. She's like, no, I'm not. I said, just one bite. Once she ate a bite, she's like, I'll go on a diet later. I have that is all. So we start just eating this king cake. So then we eat it that night also after supper. So we get over to y'all's house yesterday. Yeah. We're sitting around the table, and Missy's dad. It's Missy. I mean, there's 40 people there, our family, 30 or 40, I don't know. But it's at our little table was Missy and I and her parents, yep, and Cole. Yep. And Larry just starts going off. I really wasn't paying attention. And then I realize he's upset that he can't find his king cake. I was like, I literally went, oh, no. And Missy's looking at me. I was looking at her.
You were thinking, and it's gone.
And Anna said, I waited in line. I heard her say this. Because she found this
place. She found
place
the King Cakes, right?
At this obscure place, this bakery here in our hometown. She waited in line an hour to get them that King Cake. 1 hour. That's how good these things are.
Well, it was worth every bit of it.
And so my wife, look, bows up and says, Dad, we ate your king cake. Yeah. I couldn't believe she did. Because I thought, that was not an idea for me. I was thinking, I need to go. And she's like,
you were
going to
say, hello, my name is Jim Smith.
I can see right now, I'm fixing to lose quickly. I'm fixing to lose that cheese.
And look, her dad went, you did what?
So let me finish it up with this, Jace. Everybody's listening to this saying, you know, the cheese left him, the king. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. We're back at the gospel. Is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We keep telling you folks this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What about this? Shall trouble? No. Or hardship? Nope. Persecution? Not at all. Famine? Nope. Nakedness? Danger? Sword? As it is written, for your sake, Lord, we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. And all these things, I love this, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced, the Apostle Paul, that neither death, that's a big one, nor life, neither angels nor demons, a lot of them still around, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, including governmental powers, cancel culture crowd, political parties. No, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where we're standing, and we're not going to move. We're not going to budge. I mean, where are we going? If this is not it, where do we go from here, Al?
Yeah, that's right.
This is the only shot we have. Therefore, I'm like, you know what? These times, they come and go, and the bad and the evil and the government and the policies and all the pandemics. They're scared to death, running, oh, no, we're going to die. We're all going to die. We're looking at it saying, we're children of the resurrection. So be it.
That was in Romans 8 is where Dad was reading. You know, it's interesting, Jace, you and I talk about the paragraph headings that are in people's Bibles. Most of the time, they're not even right. But in this case, I like it. It says, more than conquerors. Yeah. Which I like that idea that there's conquering, but then there's more than conquering.
You bet.
Which is what you just read.
You bet.
Well, that was the point I was going to make. The reason we got together and the reason we're not fearful is because of the resurrection.
That's right.
And I mean, that's, I think, fun and funny moments. And you think about all the times we get together as families, those are the things you'll remember. I mean, I'll remember. I probably won't remember, you know, the brisket, but I'll remember eating my in-law's king cake.
You did what?
And yeah, because it's like, I'll pay you for it, but it's like,
He really wants another kink. Yeah, somebody's got to go wait in line.
Money doesn't matter in this moment. This is priceless. This is a priceless. We've stumbled up on something that's awesome, and now everybody wants it. It's like we're all, I mean, we devoured Missy and I.
Yeah.
That king cake within 24 hours. King cake's pretty good. A lot of people may not understand what we're saying, but it's kind of a Mardi Gras themed cake. And most of them put the baby Jesus in it. This one had a gold coin, gold looking coin.
Oh, yeah.
In it. So anyway, I'm glad you made that point, because I think that's keeps perspective, which keeps us jovial, keeps us positive, and we all know that we're going to make mistakes inside our family units, and it keeps it in perspective to know, despite our flaws, God uses us to spread, you know, forgiveness through the cross and the power and hope of the resurrection.
Well, the big challenge that I sort of wrapped up and Mike and I preached together yesterday was what Jason said on the podcast, is that live Easter living, resurrection living is every single day. You wake up, it's a new opportunity. I mean, I'm excited about the resurrection every day. I am glad. I'm not one of these people that says, we shouldn't have a once a year thing where the world recognizes it. Sure, we should. Yes. That's a good thing. Yep. Why would we not do that?
But use all resources necessary to get someone to think, maybe for the first time.
Well, I would dare say that those two girls probably, because it was Easter Sunday, was probably why they were hunting up a church.
They were when they walked out of the baptistry. I was around there waiting on them with a few of the brothers. We're sitting there, and the way they came out of that baptistry, they're wet now, their hair is wet, and they walk out, and one of them was like,
did you use your famous line, your happy times three?
No, I just said, well, I love you, both you girls. I'm glad that, now aren't you glad you showed up at the wrong church? And she said, amazing.
Did she call you Mr. Jim?
Well,
I'm going to start. I think
somebody whispered in the ear, he's really not Jim Smith.
No. Well, now you're Jim Smith.
You're
Phil Robertson. And look, on AKA your tombstone,
I don't mind being called Jim Smith.
We're going to put Phil. You started it. Every time I see you now, I'm going to think Jim Smith.
AKA.
Well, she was at the wrong church. Where's the preacher? And I was just saying, I just kind of went along with her thinking.
There's a sermon in that. Wrong church, but right on Jesus.
You betcha.
That's pretty good.
That's what happened. Mm-hmm. No fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.